This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Figure out the Taliban and what Afghanistan is going to look like. Lots of comments from the right and the left. The blame game continues. And as we get closer to 9/11, two more victims of the 9/11 attacks have actually been identified. Imagine that. There's still so many not identified, just missing and obviously known that they were in the towers or someplace else where they were killed, but they could not find their bodies. It's just a reminder of that terrible, terrible day. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, thanks so much for joining us on this show. Whether you're a first timer or you've been here for many, 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 many shows, we appreciate you. And remember, you have a voice in this. You can always flip me your thoughts at kate@katedelaneyradio.com because we got a ton of mail that we're going to get to when we go to our virtual mail room, like this one from Chad, who says, Kate, it just sickens me to think that the Taliban is going to put women back into horrible places where they may be stoned, who knows, beheaded, and anything else. I don't trust those SOBs, and it's so heartbreaking to realize after all the, as you say, blood, sweat, and tears that was dumped in the Middle East, we pull out, and then it's that much worse for the people who are left behind. It's the soldiers and those that sacrificed in the military that I worry about as they watch to see how things unfold. Yeah, I second that. Certainly we saw that there were so many calls to the suicide hotline, the VA suicide hotline, because so many were distraught over what they were seeing in the chaos a couple of weeks ago in the withdrawal from Afghanistan. We'll get into that in a few, but first, as I said, in a couple of days, you know, we're talking about 9/11, you think of the 20 years, and some people know this from the time that I've done this show, and some people maybe don't realize it, but I was in New York working on 9/11 for WFAN, a big sports station, number one sports station actually in the U.S. I'm a content junkie, and you know, I'm all about the news and what's breaking, what's happening, and I also veered in the direction of sports, too. And so I was there covering the Yankees and the Mets and everything else in between and doing talk. And that's when 9/11 happened, and it was very chilling because in the newsroom, which was in Queens, so many people thought, well, this can't be. How could a commercial airliner fly through one of the buildings, the World Trade Center? And instantly, it's like in an instant, you knew, no, that's not right. That's an attack. And before you know it, the second plane and the rest, of course, is history, and it was a very sad for me and for so many in New York to see, and what you've seen many, many times, many of you all over this country, the posters and different bills that were put up with people's faces on them saying, please, please, if you've seen this person, this is my father, this is my husband, this is the description. He was last seen on whatever floor of the building it was. And of course, as the hospitals were waiting and waiting to hopefully get many people from the World Trade Center, for example, and have them coming in and having so many doctors at the ready. And it was like a ghost town because that did not happen. Yes, there were people injured. Yes, there were people who were treated, but not the amounts that was originally thought would happen from the buildings, especially once the buildings went down, you realized, oh, this is a whole different kind of thing. This is way, way different than we thought. It is the day that changed my world, that changed our world, It changed everything about what we realized we were in the United States and how exposed, in a sense, we were to terrorists, to religious fanaticism, if you will, when you look at Al-Qaeda and you look at the Taliban and things that we didn't really endure, just back-to-back, four of them, acts of horrible terror on a late, late summer morning that was a morning that so many people remember as a clear, beautiful morning that they were getting on planes, getting ready to do something exciting, moving, whatever. And in just 77 minutes, nearly 3,000 Americans perished. 3,000 people on American soil. And if you were on a plane, you know that if you were flying somewhere, and I know people that were in the spot, the planes were pulled down immediately, almost immediately. So there were people that were grounded in other places in the world and other places in the country than where they were headed to. And it was just a couple of weeks. I wasn't in the air, but I was flying a lot. And it was a couple of weeks after 9/11, maybe 3 weeks at the most. And I was flying to Texas from Philadelphia, actually. And when I was on the plane, there was maybe five people on the plane. And when I first got on the plane, a guy handed me a pillow and he said, "Are you prepared to do what you might have to do?" And I said, "Yeah, I am." And of course, what he meant was, because we're all reeling from this, if something happens, are you ready to get up and fight or do what you have to do on the plane? Because there was so much conversation about the heroes on the planes that day, like in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, the plane that went down, and so many other stories, of course. Just a horrible, horrible, tragic moment in our history. Our worst nightmare, really our worst, worst nightmare. And some of you sent me your thoughts on 9/11, and in fact, in this mailbag you did, and we'll definitely get to that as well. It wouldn't be this show if we weren't talking about something that was breaking or happening that was crazy with Mother Nature, right? So an earthquake this time, not in the United States, though, but in Acapulco on Tuesday night. So you got that building sway, and that was in Mexico City, about 200 miles away. People said they could just feel the buildings sway. A preliminary magnitude of 7.0, which is big, 10 miles northeast, specifically, of Acapulco. Loud, loud noises, things falling from windows and houses and power out, and cars, cars that were collapsing and flipping over. But I suppose the good news is it doesn't look like there were any victims of serious damage beyond collapsed walls and falling rocks, which often is amazing, because if somebody was in the way of that, they would most likely be seriously injured or not with us any longer. So we've seen a couple of these in Mexico City. And, you know, the description was that the ground shook for about a minute in some parts of the capital. That's a long time for a quake. And that people, of course, know it. They've felt that feeling before, and they got out of buildings. That's the good news. But then it was a rainy night, and they ended up, once they realized it was okay, went back into their buildings. Wow. Like I said, always something with Mother Nature. This time, earthquake, but not in the U.S. What else was happening on the day that affects you and me? We're talking about it on the flip side.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Brought to you by Bank of America. A recent Bank of America survey found 61% of college students practice saving. However, just 45% create and stick to a budget. Budgeting is a critical lifelong skill and allows you to save strategically. Aaron McCullen, Head of Deposit Products at Bank of America.
As a college student, it's all too easy to overspend and bust your budget. Every dollar counts when purchasing textbooks, restocking the fridge, or catching up with friends over dinner. When you head back to campus and activities ramp up, creating or updating your budget is critical. Also look for ways to start saving for the future, even if it's a small amount. Automatic saving tools like Bank of America's Keep the Change make it easy to incorporate savings into everyday college life.
Keep the Change rounds purchases made with a Bank of America debit card to the nearest dollar and transfers the change to a savings account. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/students.
In 49 states, what is it? You're not going to like it. I'm just telling you that. And then plus we have the 9/11 mastermind still awaiting trial 20 years later. Oh, what some of the families must think who lost people in 9/11. As I mentioned, the 3,000, there were kids that were born that never saw their fathers. And there are other horrible stories as far as family relations are concerned, where too many people lost loved ones, and no matter what happens afterwards, trying to fill that hole, good luck with that. Well, I remember all the talk about Sheikh Mohammed, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, and in case you didn't know this, he's still awaiting trial. So how's that possible? At Guantanamo, they've got that going on right now where they're resuming the hearings and the justice system is kicking in on this. So it is almost like national security experts, a couple of them have been quoted as saying, well, the system isn't really supposed to win. It's supposed to fail. What is that about? It should be a big damn deal. So two decades later and 9 years after war crimes charges were filed, the pre-trial wranglings in this case against the 9/11 mastermind, again, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and four other defendants, started on Tuesday. Imagine that, after a COVID shutdown. It was his first court appearance in more than a year. No trial date has been set, and none is actually anticipated. There were some family members that were there at Guantanamo, from what I understand, and in other sites around the United States so they could watch the hearing. Apparently, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed was in a good mood. He was waving to reporters and was kind of jovial and chatting it up with his defense team. The defense team saying that he was tortured and the others were tortured, so it is not a fair hearing. It was 15 years ago that President George W. Bush announced the arrival of al-Qaeda detainees at Guantanamo, joining hundreds of other prisoners, of course, that were there in that area off of Cuba. And why is justice moving at a snail's pace? Well, I guess one of the excuses is it's not so easy to get there. And the military commission set up for the trial created from scratch in the Obama administration, so all the rules can be a point of contention, hours and hours of litigation, so there's been a lot of turnover of judges and lawyers. But the biggest factor is the secrecy, I guess. It took years for defense lawyers to get summaries of the classified evidence against their clients. They say they still don't have everything they need, even though they all possess top secret security clearances. So what's behind that? I think some of these are imaginary obstacles, or others have been put in the roadway just to drag this out, just to drag the whole thing out. The defense team say covering up torture is the reason why they were brought here, and that's the reason that it's an indefinite detention, and that's the reason why this can't move forward fairly. And the goal of the United States has been to afford fairness, right? That's what they would say, the Department of Defense would say, I would assume. So no trial at all in the end. Will there ever be a trial? I wouldn't put my money on it. And how much, by the way, besides the frustration, the angst and everything else, how much do you think it is costing the taxpayers? Oh, which, what affects you and what affects me? This, it costs us about $13 million per prisoner per year to operate the detention facility. Did you know that? That little slice of heaven in Cuba, horrible place, Guantanamo, $13 million. A prisoner per year. So you do the math on that and see what you think. And that was an estimate from the New York Times. And I went back and I looked at their numbers and they're accurate, right? So 39 prisoners now. That's down from about 700. The Biden administration wants to close it. There is a $15 million expansion that's underway. Construction of a new courtroom and workspaces. So I think that this is going to be a long affair. It's going to drag out for a long, long time. And I can only feel, once again, for the people that I interviewed, some of them, for the families, the victims of this terrible, terrible moment in our history. Because as that drags out, and as you hear the story of KSM, it definitely boils your blood, doesn't it? Fair or foul? What say you, America? I'm curious. Let's run an unofficial poll on what's happening at Guantanamo and just some of the bits and pieces I told you and make your own conclusions, form your own opinions. I mean, that's what this show is about, right? Let's have a reasonable discussion on it. So you can flip me your thoughts, Kate at KateDelaneyRadio.com. Kate at KateDelaneyRadio.com. All right, this is not going to make you happy either, and I've got to squeeze this in here. Mew, you know what it is? Well, I'm going to tell you, it's another variant. 49 states so far have detected it. It was discovered in Colombia in January, and it spread to 4 dozen countries. It's made its presence known in Hawaii and Alaska and 49 other states, basically. Nebraska, the only state to not have a Mew variant case detected. Here's the not-so-good part about this. It's even, supposedly, more transmissible than the Delta variant and has the potential. I want you to hear this and remember this day if you haven't heard this anywhere else. And if you have, I'm just adding to that conversation. And from what I understand from somebody I know in the medical field, actually someone who's been a guest, that this is more, again, more transmissible than the Delta variant and has the potential to resist vaccines. Oh, we do not want to hear that, do we? California has the highest number of the latest variant with 384. A total of 167 of those cases were found in Los Angeles County. And which, oh, by the way, U.S. COVID cases now top 40 million. But I think this, we go with Delta and then we look at Mu and wow, not good to hear this. When the virus first reared its ugly head and changed the world as we know it, one of the conversations I think some people weren't paying attention to, because of course it was all hands on deck and panic and figuring this out and what's going to happen and what do we do and who do we believe and what information is the right information out there and everything else in between from A to Z. But one of the things that pretty much was agreed upon for anybody who knows anything about viruses is they mutate. They mutate, they mutate, they mutate. And that was the conversation. This will mutate. What happens? You don't get a lid on it. What happens is it mutates, mutates, mutates. So we are so dependent on what other people do in the case of COVID. We are. Because look at what I said. Colombia was where they did, where they came up with the first case. So that goes to who's traveling, who's bringing what in, how did all this happen? Remember, China originated with COVID-19, and there was lots of travel back and forth, and there is lots of travel back and forth to China and the United States. So is the Mu variant of COVID-19, is that eventually going to become dominant in the United States? Hopefully not. I mean, maybe it will weaken, or it's going to be something else to pay attention to and to worry about. It really hasn't taken hold to an extreme, but it has formed and is out there and has been detected in 49 states. And this is how it always seems to start. We mention it and say, oh, there's this variant. It's called Delta. And then all of a sudden, it's rampant like a wildfire. Mm. All right, I'm making my way to the mailbag. Got a ton of it to get to. We're doing that around the bend.
This is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers. Simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
A pretrial hearing for five men accused of planning the September 11th attacks got underway Tuesday after years of delays. Accused mastermind of the attacks, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, and the four others face a military commission for the first time in more than a year, as the trial has been delayed because of the pandemic. Proceedings inside the court at Guantanamo Bay went on for several hours before the judge dismissed the court ahead of schedule to allow both sides to regroup and strategize. And President Biden is set to lay out a new strategy to combat the Delta variant of the coronavirus. The president will announce his strategy Thursday during remarks from the White House. Press Secretary Jen Psaki told reporters Tuesday that the plan is a six-pronged strategy that is likely to include encouragement for the private sector to introduce more vaccine mandates. The announcement coming as the nation passed 40 million confirmed cases of COVID since the beginning of the pandemic last year. You're listening to USA Radio News. An elections reform bill delayed for days by an exodus of Democratic lawmakers is now the law in Texas. Tim Berg has more.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott is signing an election bill into law. The Republican governor telling reporters it's a great bill because it expands early voting to 12 days, noting it's longer than President Biden's home state of Delaware. Abbott saying the bill will also make it harder for ballot harvesting and will withstand any legal challenges.
Whenever laws like this are passed, the first thing the Democrats do is they run to the courthouse and try to challenge it. I feel extremely confident that when this law makes it through the litigation phase, it will be upheld.
From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
And more than 400,000 people in Louisiana remain without power more than a week after the area was hit by Hurricane Ida. Nearly three-quarters of New Orleans have had power restored, but another 430,000 in southeastern Louisiana are still without electricity. This is USA Radio News.
It's been tough talking to my doctor about constipation with belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. I finally laid all my symptoms out there and how they keep coming back. She said I may have irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C. We agreed it's time to try something different.
Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives. It lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. There could be more to your story with IBS-C. Visit a doctor in person or online. Say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by AbbVie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
Oh, you have mail, mistress.
Let's dig in the mailbag.
Those two guys in the back. Yep, thanks to everybody for sending me your thoughts. This is a huge mailbag, as always. KateDelaneyRadio.com. You can send me your thoughts. Doing that unofficial poll. I love throwing those out there on fair or foul Guantanamo and what's happening there, because you and I are paying a fortune, and this is a trial that's been 20-plus years, and we're not even into the trial yet at this point, and who knows if it ever gets underway. Will the so-called mastermind of 9/11 finally be given his day in court, so to speak, and the families and the victims of what happened to them, will they get that sense of whatever relief you would get from that? Because I don't know that you get 100% relief, right? But justice served up. I can think of a couple of other things, but this is how we're rolling. This is what's going on. And in the meantime, there's millions of dollars being pumped into renovations, and yet there's a cry to close it down. We've heard that before, that during the Obama administration they talked about it. Well, where would we put everyone, and who would be safe, and what would be a target, and the whole thing. And then that never happened anyway. So, fair or foul. Let's jump right to it. This one is from Michael, who is listening to us in Clinton, Iowa. Hi, Michael. And Michael says, Kate, it just makes me so damn angry to think about 9/11 and trust me, with my business, I spent some time in and out of New York. And I got to say, as a farm guy, I was kind of leery of what was going to happen when I went to New York. But I have to tell you that New Yorkers really kind of rolled out the red carpet for me. And my business dealings were fantastic. And then 9/11 happened, and a lot of my business was crippled, as was my business partners. We bounced back, but I'll never forget that day as long as I live. I lost somebody in that massacre, somebody who I did like, somebody who was an incredible hero to me. His name was Josh, and he perished on one of the flights out of respect to his family. I won't go into lots and lots of details, but just to say that it was heartbreaking. And to hear about Guantanamo and the slow wheels of justice and this whole commission system that's been set up, what a joke. At least family members can watch, I guess, behind a thick glass, and they get to hear what's going on, and I think that should happen wherever it is, whether it's in Guantanamo or some other place. But if this whole torture thing brings this down and it doesn't really happen, and the Khalid Sheikh Mohammed deal just kind of blows up and doesn't go anywhere, I think that that's the real crime to all of this. And it's very worrisome that that could ultimately happen. What are the odds? Sorry for the loss of your business partner friend. And so you know exactly what we're talking about. You know, think about some of those families who didn't get to know their fathers, like I said, or that lost partners way too soon. And, I mean, there's so many stories, and we've talked about a lot of the stories in the past in the 15 years that I've done this show, and I've told you what it was like when I was there and going down to the what we called the pile and ground zero, and just suspending any conversation about sports and talking to so many relatives and talking to so many firefighters and first responders, and you know what they saw. And I'm with you. Let's get the show on the road. I mean, come on. So we move to this one. This one is from Frank, and Frank says, Kate, I'm sure a lot of people are going to talk about where they were on 9/11 and what they recall happening and what they remember seeing or thinking. And I thought, my God, nothing will ever be the same. I was newly married and I was living in New Jersey, and all we heard about was people who were supposed to be on planes, people who were supposed to be on the city, that kind of thing. And of course, we went into the city a bunch, but I wasn't going to be in the city that day or even that week. But we definitely knew people who had crossed the bridges, as you understand. And they were fine, except for they were as shocked as anybody else as to what happened. And then so much about what was known and what we didn't do, and why wasn't it stopped, and why weren't agencies cooperating with each other? And from what I understand, it seems like there is more cooperation, but I don't know if it's the ultimately the best that it can be. I have a friend who works for the CIA, and I have another friend who works with the State Department, and let's hope that everybody cooperates on anything they know instead of playing the territory game, because that's how it happens in Washington. It's not just state politics. Of course, Washington can be equally as bad. Yeah, that was a big part of information that wasn't passed on. Remember, like, so many of the Saudis who were taking flying lessons, but they didn't. There was two instances where they didn't want to learn how to land a plane. Oh, no, that's okay. I just want to know how to take off, because it's not going to land. I mean, they didn't say that to the instructor, but it was odd, and it definitely raised some red flags, and there definitely was an FBI agent who was trying to push that information forward and was shut down with that information. Would it have made a difference? It could have. There were a few other things that were reported, and there were things that seemed awry, and they just were not connected. And it definitely changed travel. And here's the question. This is what Max says. Kate, do you think we're safer traveling now than we were pre 9/11? I think it depends on the airport and the situation. I just remember afterwards the TSA advertising on pizza boxes in D.C. for TSA agents. And then I remember seeing old ladies getting the shakedown and women with children. They were searching every inch of a stroller. Then I would see other people that would just breeze right through. And it seemed like, oh, they have so much luggage. Are they even looking at their luggage? Just kind of skirting it through. I mean, here's what I think. If somebody really wants to do harm to an airplane, or they want to do something in an airport, especially if they're willing to just lose their life, they don't have any fear of that, they're creating and coming up with new ways, right? Remember, what was his name, Richard Reed, the shoe bomber? So he was gonna blow up a plane with explosives in his shoe. That luckily didn't happen. And there were other, like, near misses. So I think you're always going to have those so-called darts being thrown at the board of, okay, what can we do? But in some cases, I think the airports have done a lot better job. And it's, I don't know, it's frightening to me. Then you hear about people getting on the tarmac, and how did they get there? And they weren't stopped. So, you know, there are ways, if you want to get through, and it's I think you just have to be vigilant. That's my best answer. As somebody who's traveled, I've traveled a lot, especially pre-COVID. I was in smaller airports. I was in big airports. I was in long lines. I was, you know, Orlando, they have dogs, drug-sniffing dogs, and I thought they really seemed like they did a good job because it took forever to get through, no matter what kind of pass you had. There's no fast pass. And they, it seemed to me like they were really on top of everything. And that could be different, like I said, at other airports. So that's a tough question, right? And I hate to just throw a blanket over the whole thing. All right, let's go to this one. This one is from Johnny, who says, Kate, this tug of war, as you call it, over vaccinated, not vaccinated, masked, not masked. Now you have all of these students who were back, and you could relate to this, enjoying college football, and they're jammed together, and you got to know that a lot of them aren't vaccinated. Are we going to see some kind of spreading event? And, of course, the worry there is how many people don't make it. You know, what kind of, if they get COVID, how bad is that COVID if they're not vaccinated? Because I've seen lots of video of kids in the hospital, young kids that aren't vaccinated, and then their parents hysterical before the cameras saying they're scared to death because their kid can't breathe. So we are so not out of the woods, no matter what people think, with this COVID nonsense, whether it's the newest variant or the Delta variant. We're not done yet. And to me, that is the scariest thing when you think about the impact on all of our lives. And it affects every single one of us. Every single one of us are affected by this in some way. How many people don't know somebody who at least has had COVID? You know, that's an interesting question. I know people that have gotten COVID and have survived it and were vaccinated. I know people that weren't vaccinated and barely survived it. Somebody who died from COVID and they were masked. They didn't have a chance at a vaccine. It wasn't available yet. And they died, and it was very tragic, less than, not even 50 years old, let's put it that way. All right, we're rolling through to the man cave coming up.
Brought to you by Bank of America. A recent Bank of America survey found 61% of college students practice saving. However, just 45% create and stick to a budget. Budgeting is a critical lifelong skill and allows you to save strategically. Aaron McCullen, Head of Deposit Products at Bank of America.
As a college student, it's all too easy to overspend and bust your budget. Every dollar counts when purchasing textbooks, restocking the fridge, or catching up with friends over dinner. When you head back to campus and activities ramp up, creating or updating your budget is critical. Also look for ways to start saving for the future, even if it's a small amount. Automatic saving tools like Bank of America's Keep the Change make it easy to incorporate savings into everyday college life.
Keep the Change rounds purchases made with a Bank of America debit card to the nearest dollar and transfers the change to a savings account. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/students.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The Internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio. 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now, and as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
I'm going to the man cave. Going to the man cave. Going to the man cave. I'm going to the man cave.
We are in the man cave. Make yourself comfortable. We have a lot to talk about, from schemes and dreams and the start of an NFL season and, oh, yeah, the impact of COVID. I look forward to the day when COVID is just a word I say, like, once during a show. But it is what we live with. I mean, this is the landscape. Let's talk real here, people, and will it affect sports? Of course, it's already affected sports. Okay, couple of interesting things. How about this? The former president, Donald Trump, is going to provide commentary on the Evander Holyfield Victor Belfort telecast. Yeah, he signed a contract to do that on a game cast of Saturday's boxing event that's now headlined by Holyfield. How interesting is that? I guess his son Don Jr. is going to join him at Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood, Florida. And, you know, he has been someone who's been ringside for a lot of big fights in his life. He says, I love great fighters and great fights. I look forward to seeing both this Saturday night and sharing my thoughts ringside. You won't want to miss this special event. And, of course, there will be a lot of other people that will be involved in this, too. Holyfield is someone I actually covered. He was a force to be reckoned with when I covered him a couple of times for CBS. 58 years old now. He stepped in to fill in for Oscar De La Hoya, who tested positive for COVID-19. Oh, that made me so sad that Oscar tested positive, but he's apparently, supposedly, I heard through the grapevine, feeling a little bit better. Belfort 44 is a former UFC light heavyweight champion. So interesting, isn't it? Yeah. That commentary will be, I think, interesting. It's just, the whole thing is crazy because it's like opposite day. You go from Oscar De La Hoya to Holyfield. You never know in the world that we live in, right? I'm just saying. You never know what's going to happen. All right. So if we were sitting here jawing about what's going on in sports, of course we'd be talking about Thursday and the opening game for the NFL. I mean, the stuff that counts, you know, the Cowboys and Tampa Bay. What is that going to be like? Tampa Bay Buccaneers, of course, with the old man quarterback, which seems so silly to say, right? Hey, he's in his mid-40s, whatever. So Tampa Bay is actually favored. They won the Super Bowl last year by 8 points. They're at Raymond James Stadium. The Cowboys and Cowboy Nation never gives up because they think, I don't know, maybe this is going to be the year. And this is a big year, certainly, for the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, who is desperate to win after having to be sidelined last year, and feeling that feeling of, oh, I'm down again, and I have to go through this. So this opener is an interesting opener between these two teams for a lot of different reasons. The whole thing of, you know, of again, Tampa, and the fact that you have Tom Brady, who's put them in the spot that they're in. And then Dak Prescott, and coming back, you know, if you saw Hard Knocks, he was just chomping at the bit to get more reps. Any kind of anything that happened to him, where he felt it just wasn't right to put him in there because he was feeling his arm a little bit. So we're going to be very careful about that, which I think was smart. You know, this is the new world, right? And also the whole COVID thing. So, like Cowboys guard Zach Martin tested positive for COVID-19, and he's going to miss Dallas's opening game against the Buccaneers on Thursday night. And that's a bummer because he's someone they would want on that line for this opener. Ezekiel Elliott calls it a new chapter. So he feels like he's going to redeem himself. He dropped weight in training camp. He was 218 pounds, his lowest since freshman year at Ohio State. Remember, he was a big runner. And he had to get his suits all retailored. And he's excited to see what this year is going to bring for the Dallas Cowboys. Anyway, it all starts on Thursday, then the rest of the games. The rest on Sunday, going all the way through. Always my favorite game is that NBC night game. The Bears and the Rams will be doing that one. That kicks at 8:20 Eastern. And then how about this matchup on Monday night? Ravens and the Raiders, at Allegiant Stadium. So playing the real stuff, a real game, at this beautiful brand new stadium in Las Vegas. And stricter protocols, of course, this time around for the NFL. So that's a very, very big deal as to what happens with COVID. Does anybody end up, any teams end up forfeiting games because of players who test positive for COVID? This was about a scheme, not COVID. Clinton Portis was among three former NFL players who have pled guilty for their roles in a nationwide scheme to defraud a health care program for retired NFL players. Ugh. The 40-year-old former running back, member drafted by the Broncos in the early 2000s, spent most of his career, though, with Washington. He faces a maximum penalty of 10 years in prison. He's scheduled to be sentenced on January 6th. According to court documents, he caused the submission of false and fraudulent claims to the plan on his behalf over a two-year period. So he got about almost, not quite, but almost $100,000 in benefits for medical equipment that wasn't actually provided. And this is a guy who was feared when he was really in his heyday. Two Pro Bowl selections in his time in the NFL. And he just was always on the cusp of things, right? And so this is sad to see this. And he's one of 10 former NFL players charged in December 2019 with defrauding the healthcare program of more than $3.4 million by filing those false claims. 15 people have pled guilty in connection with it overall. You know, you forget about those things, right? But it's big deal. Obviously, a very, very big deal. All right, this was a big deal. I was watching bits and pieces of this match, but Carlos Alcaraz abruptly retired. He's been exciting to watch from Spain in his match against Auger Alsamy, and that was a surprise. I mean, he's this 18-year-old Spanish phenom, really, who is getting the crowds ignited. He had an upset win over the number 3 seed at the U.S. Open, Stefanos Tsitsipas. And then in this quarterfinal match against the number 12 seed, he was trailing 6-2, 3-1. He said he had a problem with his right muscle in his thigh and hip area, and he could control the pain early on, but as the match got deeper, it got bad enough he couldn't continue. He said, "I'll have to take care of my body and stay healthy." Boy, it looked like it was going to be some kind of an exciting match, and you can imagine the crowds obviously were disappointed, but he did have a lot of tape on him, so I think heading into this, he knew, like you said, he was definitely having some problems with that. There's another 18-year-old phenomenon on the woman's side, Canadian Layla Fernandez. She is on fire. I mean, she has hit upset after upset after upset. Svitlana is the last person that she knocked off. Elena Svitlana, 6-3, 3-6, 7-6. So she gets to a Grand Slam semifinal. Sweet. Something to watch. There's been some upsets. Some of our big, exciting names that are normally there aren't. But you got the young guns. It's their time, and who knows? They're exciting to watch. And if you like tennis, it's been pretty exciting. Hey, for the U.S., this is our biggest thing, the U.S. Open. People don't realize it. It's a big deal to host this, and has been every single year. You're a big deal to me. Thanks for filling the mailbag, as always. Remember, Kate at katedelaneyradio.com. Jeremy's first night, a big shout-out. He's in the mothership doing a great job. Make it count, everybody. This is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today.